Blog Talk Radio.
Hurry, my son! Get away from the stove! The real white Bengal tiger approaches! The face has been set! Hurry! Hurry, my son!
My father, I smell his presence also!
I feel him! Where am I? There's no Hulkamaniacs here. I've never been here before. Ah! It's not hot. What is this place? I know you. I know you too. You two are behind the demise of Hulkamania. I know about the Zodiac. I know about the dangerous Kamala. Oh yeah. I know about the Man-Eater. The Shark. But Instant Stone is a legacy, the immortality of Hulkamania. And you too will be buried beneath it.
You don't understand, Hogan. This is where darkness dwells and lives. Nobody has ever been able to defeat the immortal Hulk Hogan, except yourself. You see, Hogan, you're the one that created me. And because of that, it's this simple. Your demise is etched in stone. Crash Hulkamania!
My power! It's a million times greater than the power of Hulkamania. I am the greatest giant to ever walk the face of the earth. And I am the one true immortal.
Oh, man, that's just great. Welcome, everyone, to Pro Wrestling Flashback. That was just our little tribute. Go ahead and explain what happened this past week, Dre.
King Curtis Ikea, who played the master in the Dungeon Doom, passed away this past weekend.
Which really is really sad. I mean, he didn't really have a huge role in WCW, but he had a huge role in wrestling, especially Florida, correct?
Yeah. He was big in Florida, yeah, and... especially like in, I believe in Hawaii, working for Maivia's, you know, the Rock's family. And he was big in, he was in WWF. I first remember him, he managed Kamala like in, I think like maybe late 86, 87. He managed him there a little bit, but then he left and I didn't see him again until like when they started doing the Dungeon Doom vignettes. So, very scary man.
Yes. All right, so last week we left off, and we had just gotten through Uncensored, which Uncensored was such a great undercard, and of course, like, the crazy, wacky garbage that, you know, that is the WCW booking at the time for the main event.
It was the precursor to TNA is what it was.
It really was.
You know, you got all the hot matches, just like this past Sunday, you had all the hot matches on the bottom of the card, and then you get to, like, the final, like, two, three matches, and it's all downhill.
Well, see, there's like, to kind of, like, touch on Uncensored, where we're at, them bringing in Dennis Rodman was such a big deal at the time. It was huge. It was, you know, it was money in the bank for WCW, I thought, because...
Yeah.
All the publicity it brought. And I mean, there like he did Larry King talking about it, tons of newspapers and magazines did articles about it. I mean, WCW
did he blow off
of
like a practice, Chicago Bulls practice to go to Nitro or something?
Yes, he did. Yes,
I
he
remember
did.
That
story. Yeah, that was a little bit later, though, I believe.
That was the next year.
I mean,
it
was, yeah. It was a pretty big deal, though, that he was there. And as a matter of fact, thank you, by the way, to Rovert, who, you know, told us to really do our research on the torch. And I read a bunch of interesting articles about it. And like I found out actually the finish for Uncensored was supposed to be Team Piper winning with Benoit winning for his team, but Hogan, being typical Hulk Hogan, you know, actually had the match changed because all the media was there to see Dennis Rodman, and in turn he thought and Hulk Hogan and not Chris Benoit, so the finish was changed to, you know, of course Hogan getting the win.
Yeah, Hogan can't do a job by taking a bump over the top rope.
Yes, no way. He refuses. He is not doing that. All right, so let's get into this. It's Nitro the next night, the night after Uncensored. They had another Rey Mysterio Psychosis match. And these matches, WCW always had the same formula for Nitro. They always wanted to start the show hot. And so they would very often go to either Rey Mysterio, Hoovy, you know, Eddie Guerrero, Psychosis,
Benoit,
Dean Malenko,
or somebody like that. Yeah.
Benoit. They always wanted to start the show off hot. Then DDP defeated Max, and if I don't know if you remember, but Max Muscle was with DDP. He was with DDP.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
a
back
long,
in
'95
as his bodyguard.
Yeah, he's his bodyguard. So it was a cute little match, as Dave would say. Conan and Hugh Morris defeated Renegade and Joe Gomez, and Renegade and Joe Gomez were already starting their little arguing right around this time, I believe it was.
I vaguely remember they did, I don't know, they had like this maybe one match feud or something like that, and I don't really remember.
Yeah,
it was one of the
C
shows or something like that, huh?
It was. I think it was on like Pro or Saturday Night or something.
Oh, okay.
But it's sad. Like, Saturday Night, you know, how many shows did we do? We were just pretty much covering Saturday Night. I mean, years and years of those shows. And now, like, we barely even mentioned much from Saturday Night because nothing happened. Because once Nitro came into the picture, like, Saturday Night just became, you know, a second-tier show. And they really treated it like a B-show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like that at all.
Well, you know, because I was watching... You know, you were watching back in the early 90s. I was watching back in, like, 1985. You know?
Yes.
Saturday Night was the place to be. I mean,
6:05. No, yeah. Well, I mean, like, when I really was getting into wrestling at first, like, 1990, 91, and I liked WCW. And, like, Saturday Night was still the show. It was the show. WWF did not have a show like that. They really didn't. The only thing I really saw was... like Challenge and Superstars and stuff. And they didn't have any shows that felt like that, that had, like, main event storylines really going on there. So
the only other show at least 2-hour show that they had was Primetime Wrestling. That was mostly a studio show, just, like, throwing the matches and stuff. But
I actually did like All-Star Wrestling, which was on Sundays with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. We'll get there when we get there. Sorry, I just was just sad.
You mean All-American Wrestling?
Yeah, All-American Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a good show. All right, so Dean Malenko beat Scotty Riggs. And Scotty Riggs was in this weird point of his WCW career where it was before he was in the Flock and after him and Mark Bagwell broke up, where he was just kind of like a lower card, like, jobber pretty much. And you know, they always talked him up like he was a former tag champion and stuff. But, I mean, he would never win these matches. And I kind of like Scotty Riggs. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was good. He's good to throw out there for you know, to have a good match with. He wasn't a bad worker or anything.
Yeah. Yes. Lex Luger and the Giant beat Knuckles Nelson and T. Ranchula, who was one of my favorite WCW jobbers around this time. Sorry about that. I don't know what that even was. All right. Alto Dragon beat Bobby Eaton. Jeff Jarrett and Mongo would be Alex Wright and Mark Starr. This tells you where Alex Wright is at right now. You know?
You there?
Yeah. What happened?
I apologize. I don't know my phone went. This phone's been giving me fits for like 2 months. I'm getting a new one for Christmas, so that just pissed me off.
Oh. I was wondering. I didn't know if it was my phone or yours.
For some reason it'll just like stop working and it'll be like a computer. You know how your computer freezes up like every now and then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you just got to shut the whole phone. You just got to turn the power off. I got to take when this one freezes up, I got to take the fucking battery out and put it back in. About to piss me off.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of phones, I'm actually going to switch phones. I did not know this one was near dead. So continue on with the result if you can.
Okay, no problem. Let's see, we had the Ultimo Dragon defeating Bobby Eaton. Sounds like a good match. I don't know if it was. It probably was if they gave enough time. Bobby Eaton at this time was still a pretty good worker. You had Jeff Jarrett and Steve Mongo McMichael defeated Alex Wright and Mark Starr. Mark Starr, who is the brother, I believe, of Chris Champion of the New Breed from the NWA in 1987. So, Scott Norton defeated Chavo Guerrero Jr. I doubt there's anything to that match. WCW Tag Team Champions Kevin Nash and Scott Hall defeated Bunkhouse Buck and Mike Enos. I guess they were like Rough and Ready Part 2 or something like that. I don't know what happened to Dick Slater.
I loved Rough and Ready.
I love Dick Slater. Fuck Mike Enos. I'd rather have just had Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater back together.
That's so crazy. The whole... What happened to Dick Slater exactly?
Shit, I don't know. I just assumed that he left. Or got fired or something.
This was around the time of the... Wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, right around this month, there's this article in the National Enquirer. I thought we should touch on that while we're going through a fairly boring episode of Nitro. All right, so okay. This article in the National Enquirer, and I remember actually getting this National Enquirer. My mom actually brought it to me, where Rey Mysterio supposedly was dating Jennifer Aniston. Do you remember?
I remember that.
And the whole story of it was that Rey Mysterio is married, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people in wrestling all knew, you know, that he was married. And they just said that, you know, they were secretly dating. And then there was another article right after that saying that they weren't dating because she had a boyfriend and he was married, but she loved seeing him do his high-flying moves. That's so great.
I remember them mentioning
it on Nitro. Where do they come up with this shit?
Didn't they mention it on Nitro also? I think I heard something
like
that.
Yeah, of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did. Yeah, it's just, you know, come on, Rey Mysterio, a little. Can you even picture that, you know, if that was real?
When would this have happened?
Stupid.
This is what I'm thinking, you know, when would this have happened? I mean, he's working all over the country, all over the world. I don't know.
I mean, no idea.
I remember when in 1998, Pro Wrestling Illustrated had a segment like in the National Examiner, where they have wrestling news every month or every week when it came out. It's weird.
Oh wow! I really never knew that.
Yeah.
And
I was
Scott Hall
at the checkout stand one day, and I just saw a Pro Wrestling Illustrated thing in here. That was weird. Go ahead.
So this match was Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and Buck and Mike Enos. Okay, Scott Hall. I don't think he did a show again after this. Yeah, for a while. That was his last appearance.
Until maybe Slam.
Yeah, until It's a slamboree, right?
Slamboree for the six man, with the big six man tag. Against Flair,
yes,
and Piper and Kevin Green.
Yes, because he actually, he entered himself into rehab. And this is the first of many.
Yeah, this was the start of his personal issues going public, I think.
Yes. Yes, so they tried finding these, like, these different reasons to keep him off television, you know, like, to explain him no longer being on TV. And it was, you know, some of their excuses were pretty bad. And, yeah, so this is his last appearance for at least a little bit, you know.
Yeah, this was the start of his personal issues, you know, going public that eventually, I think, ended his career or ruined his career. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
All right. Another thing I wanted to mention real fast. So let's get to this main event. Benoit beat Billy Kidman, and then the Steiners fought Harlem Heat, and to no contest, which I believe there was more interference.
Probably NWO ran in.
And WCW is trying to have themselves a women's division.
Yeah.
And they're literally bringing back these people from the 80s. Like, they actually hired, for at least a while, Leilani Kai. Leilani Kai was actually on the very first WrestleMania.
Yep.
WrestleMania 1 in 1985.
WrestleMania 10.
Yes, WrestleMania 10 as well. The thing with that is, women, like, and this is going to sound extremely sexist, but it's just the truth. Their wrestling careers are much shorter than men, because once they start looking a certain way, they, like, people don't want to see them. And, of course, there's a couple of exceptions, like Moolah and Mae Young and stuff, but for the most part, they have a limit to their career.
Their gimmick was that they were,
you know?
Their gimmick was that they were old, so that's why they gave so much.
Yeah, yeah. No, but
I mean,
if you think about it.
Not to sound mean, but, you know, especially women from, like, back in the 80s era, they all look like they should be driving trucks anyway, and that's when they're young. So.
Yes.
I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's true.
Yeah, they're rough-looking women, you know. A little side story. I actually met Leilani Kai. Because when TNA started, a couple of buddies of mine, we went to the first couple of shows. And the first one in Nashville, I went down there. And, like, I met this guy there, and he's like, yeah, I work security. And we showed up to the building because, like, I've always been a huge Jeff Jarrett fan, and that's why I wanted to go. And so we knew it was first come, first served, like, because they were at the big Nashville building, like the – I think it was like the municipal auditorium or whatever.
Uh-huh.
At first. And so we went to the show, and we got there at like 7 in the morning, and we're just sitting there like waiting all day to get into the show. And a bunch of wrestlers are nice to come out, and then there's these two fans, and one of them is this guy. He's like, yeah, I work security. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I bet, you know. He's like, yeah, my girlfriend and I are here. She used to be a wrestler. I was like, oh, yeah, what's her name? And he's like, yeah, here she comes. It's Leilani Kai. And it's this fucking, like, 20-year-old hillbilly guy with, like, you know, a barely any sort of, like, facial hair. Like, you know, the kind that kind of grows facial hair but can't. And
no, I don't know any hillbilly.
Leilani Kai, who's like, huh?
I don't know any hillbilly.
Okay. All right. Well, she comes and she's like 50 years old, and they actually sat in the front row of TNA, and she's like, yeah, they're thinking about giving me a job here. So thank God at that point TNA was a little bit more intelligent, not giving 50-year-old Leilani Kai a job over there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this. She wrestled Malaya Hosaka on the Saturday night show, and didn't she, like, work Tallulah here, like, in the last year or so?
Yes, she did.
With the one that Brian was working at, Brian Alvarez was working at.
Yes,
and I
it
think
was.
She worked the match there. Yeah. So.
That's kind of crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So Leilani Kai is only like 2 or 3 degrees away from Brian Alvarez in wrestling. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right. The next Nitro, Dean Malenko wrestled and beat Conan with the Texas Cloverleaf, which that's, That was a pretty big win, I thought, for Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
Mortis beat Jerry Flynn. Jerry Flynn hadn't been there very long. But his gimmick was that he was a karate person, kind of like Glacier. So Mortis getting the win over Jerry Flynn was, you know, kind of a big deal. La Parca, who was my favorite luchador at the time, I remember this match, and pretty much just walked through Hoovy. And I thought he was maybe getting some sort of push, but no, it was just a match. The feud between High Voltage beat Public Enemy, which that sounds crazy because High Voltage never wins. But it was because Johnny Grunge got pinned after Jeff Jarrett came out. See, they had this weird feud between Mongo and Jeff Jarrett and the Public Enemy. I have no idea like how it even started. It was, you know, it started, you know, but it was just, you know, it went from Mongo and Jeff Jarrett to fighting with each other to all of a sudden they were a tag team against the Public Enemy. And I actually really liked the feud, you know, I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
and
it was good stuff.
It was good stuff. Psychosis beat Super Colo. Hugh Morris beat Benoit, which another really big win that just, you know, just threw out there on Nitro. Harlem Heat beat Ming the Barbarian. Medusa beat Malaya Hasaka, who we were just talking about. And Jim Duggan beat the Renegade. And the Renegade, I believe, had just completed his heel turn. And then the Steiners beat the Quebecers. And then Prince Iaukea was wrestling Randy Savage for the TV title.
What a weird match.
I actually remember this distinctly. NWO comes out and says, because they won at Uncensored, they could challenge for any title they wanted. So they decided to challenge Prince Iaukea with Randy Savage. And, of course, you know, Randy Savage dominates him. He's about to win the title. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, Macho Man's going to win the TV title. But nope, DDP comes out, and it's a whole big thing. Everybody comes out, fights, awesome. It was actually one of those NWO run-in things that was actually pretty good at the end. I remember this. I was really excited for this match.
One of the main things that this match, you know, the night before was WrestleMania, and Shawn Michaels comes to the ring, and he flashes the four life sign, like right there on camera. And so then when Kevin Nash is coming out for this match, he does a little Wolfpack sign right in the camera. He says, right back at you, HBK.
Yes, I actually thought that was at SummerSlam of 96, and then you guys corrected me. So,
yeah.
Thank you for correcting me, everybody. All right, next week. All right, so we're building up some matches. And because the next pay-per-view coming up is Spring Stampede. And they're showing, like, they've been showing, like, a little bit of dissension between the NWO, like the past couple of weeks, ever since it was weird because they're on top of the world, they have a bunch of titles, but there's a little bit of dissension amongst all of them. And Luger the Giant beat Ric Fuller in Roadblock, Psychosis beats Viano 4, Prince Iaukea beats La Parca, there goes the end of La Parca's push. Jericho beats Lord Regal with a roll-up. And then Regal just beats the crap out of Jericho, and everybody comes out and tries saving him. You know,
this is gonna work into an angle like in the following weeks. It's you're gonna see why this is done in like a couple of weeks on TV.
Yeah.
They're setting something up here, so that's why they did that.
They finally brought back the women's champion Akira Hokuto, who beat Debbie Combs. Like I said, a bunch of old wrestlers. I mean, Debbie Combs.
AWA Women's Champion, I believe.
Yes. Yes, I mean, like, you know, most people didn't even think she still existed, unless still wrestling, but there she is on Nitro. Quebecers beat Mongo and Jeff Jarrett, which I'm pretty sure there was some Public Enemy interference on that.
Okay, give the pronunciations of this next match.
I can't.
Toshi Uematsu pinned Miko Satomura. I think that sounds right.
I don't remember this.
This is women, I have to believe. They weren't doing the women's cruiserweight tournament now, were they?
I'm not sure if they were or not.
Because you remember they did the women's cruiserweight title?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember that at all.
They had a tournament run like every week on like Nitro. They were doing a WCW Women's Cruiserweight title. And I don't know if
no,
this is
I,
a match.
No, I really don't remember that. But we actually have a caller on the line.
Okay.
No, so let's go ahead and take that. Area code 650.
Hey, what's up, Chris and Mike? It's KZ. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Oh, hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, I noticed you guys were doing a show on this time period. You know, at this time period, on the West Coast, we would get Nitro at 6, and it would replay at 9. So we got to watch, you know, Nitro and then Raw with no, you know, no gimmicks. But I taped it anyway, just because Nitro was a very fast-forwardable show. Like, there was some utter shit, and there was some great stuff, too. And it's just, I mean, that women's cruiserweight title. Where, what, the women's heavyweight champion?
Yeah, I
don't understand.
There was a woman's cruiserweight title.
Like
I distinctly the women's cruiserweight title. They did a tournament on Nitro, and then when they crowned the champion, for saw her again.
And that was it?
Yep.
That was it.
It's weird that I have no recollection of it. I don't know.
It had to be political favors for the New Japan office. It had to be. Because at this time, they started bringing in, you know, Nagata, who was, you know, he was young when he came. He wasn't even a star. You know, he came here for seasoning. So, you know, they still had that working relationship as well. So it was...
Well, I knew there was a working relationship, but WCW really kind of fucked them on that because they would send, like, High Voltage over there. They would get their big stars, like, you know, Masachono and guys, and they would send, like, High Voltage and Michael Wall Street over there. So, I mean, it wasn't a fair deal. Eric Bischoff completely abused that.
Yeah, but they got over, though. That's the thing. You know, they were sent over and they got over. But now High Voltage is the exception to that rule. They were pushed down the main events, but, I mean, that was bad. That was horrible. But other than that, everybody else they sent over, you know, I mean, the NWO was huge in Japan. It was huge. I mean, it was just like, you know, when it was fresh here, and, you know, 96 after the Bash of the Beach, you know, it was hot. It was the same way in New Japan. And it was, you know, because they had the cool heels. They had Muda. They had Chono. Yeah, I mean, Chono was the epitome of cool in 97. Now he's a broken down old bastard, but, you know, the MVP gets that match. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, they had really good undercard stuff, good cruiserweight stuff. They had Regal, who was just, you know, incredible. And I do remember that angle with Jericho. You know, it was kind of shooty. You know, it was like they were trying to work smarter fans. And, you know, I mean, not to the point of, you know, Pillman and Sullivan, but, I mean, they were working the smarter fans. And that was pretty cool. The main event picture was really, really bad. Really bad. It went downhill from Super Bowl. But like I said, you can fast forward.
Actually, the women's promotion, the women that they were doing with the Cruiserweight title, they were from the Gaia promotion. The Gaia promotion?
Gaia, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they were from. And that was a match that I just mentioned. That was in, like, the first round of the tournament.
For TV company in Japan. So it was, you know, it was a favor to Asahi TV. Asahi TV or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, they... Then the whole Medusa coming over, and it was just utter shit. And it was just ugh, ugh. But, you know, it was an interesting time. You know, a lot of people, you know, got some names made. And, you know, I mean, there were bright spots. But, yeah, I mean, you had, you know, fucking Kevin Green headlining a pay-per-view later on, which.
Yeah, well, we're still going to get
there. You'll get there.
we're actually – Yeah, we're working on our way over there right now, man. But, hey, we need to continue with the show because we have, like, a certain segment by segment we need to go get to. All right, but I appreciate
right,
you
guys,
calling in,
hey,
man.
Hey, have fun. I'll talk to you guys.
Okay. Thanks, KZ.
All right, thanks. All right, so we're almost to – we're the week out of Spring Stampede. And we're going through these matches. And we've known all along it's going to be the Steiners versus Hall and Nash. Well,
yep.
There's this thing where Kevin Nash is supposed to come out and say that he wasn't getting along at all with Scott Hall, And, you know, it was going to be this thing where
Hogan and Bischoff were too busy at Dennis Rodman's movie premiere to be at the show or something, right?
Yes, yes. And he was pissed off about it and complained loudly about it. And then he said he called Kevin Nash, or he called Kevin Sullivan, like a little midget, and said he's going to kick his ass. Well, Kevin Sullivan calls Eric Bischoff because he's all upset and scared that Kevin Nash is going to do something to him. And the punishment for Kevin Nash was absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then Eric Bischoff
being sent home with pay. That's how they punish people.
Yes. Yes, that's how they get to people. Well, then Bischoff has a reason to celebrate because we find out uncensored that wacky pay-per-view actually got more buys than WrestleMania. I mean, think about this. It was WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania was terrible this year, except for the Bret and Austin match.
Oh, I know, but I'm just—it's still just uncensored, though.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that was even possible.
It shows you how far WWF had fallen, now how WCW had risen, I guess.
Yes, that's very true. All right, Benoit beats Hugh Morris. You know, they had a little rematch. DDP beats Lance Ringo, Jobber, and then the Steiners beat High Voltage. And that, my friends, is the go-home show to the pay-per-view. Well,
Lance Ringo, that sounds like a name that they ought to actually have some sort of a gimmick with. Don't you think?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, like a Beatles fan or something. And all right, so they start the show for Spring Stampede, and they say Scott Hall is not in the building. And Kevin Nash had to defend the tag team titles by himself against the Steiners in a handicap match. Well, Nash is getting interviewed by Lee Marshall, and Rick and Scott Steiner show up, and they're trying to get to Kevin Nash because they're mad at him, you know?
Yeah.
And Nash is trying to convince him, like, yeah, come on. And he tells, you know, he says he wants Nick Patrick to be the referee. And then Scott Steiner, because he's a dumb fuck, apparently, hits one of the police officers.
Well, I'll say this, because I actually watched this on pay-per-view, and he said, Nash was standing there while the cops were trying to hold the guy's back. He said, hold him, and then he spit, like, right in Steiner's face. That's why Steiner flipped out.
No, I understand that, but,
anybody
like,
would do.
They should have just stayed in the back anyways. They should have just stayed in the back and waited.
They 2-on-1, I don't know why they were, you know, like at the door trying
to
get in. It's stupid.
Why? Just beat the shit out of them in the ring and win the title.
Yeah.
So then they say that it's going to be just Rick Steiner versus Kevin Nash.
Yep.
For the tag titles, the singles match. And Ric Flair's there. He said he's going to be back. And he said that Arn Anderson would be back too, which we find out later that that's not going to be true. And
so weird that he was
said,
bringing in, like he was building up Kevin Green coming in, like as his partner. When he still got like Mongo and Michael with him. And, you know, he turned on him like the previous year. Oh,
which is, it made no sense.
Kevin Green even being in this match is odd.
But they just
I know it was
made
in Charlotte.
Match.
Yeah, I know it was in Charlotte and all, but I mean, still.
Yeah.
I mean, Flair, Piper, and Kevin Green? Really? Whatever.
Well, you didn't know Piper yet. You didn't know Piper was going to be on the team yet.
Yeah.
They just said that he's going to team with Flair.
Shouldn't Michael be pissed about this? Shouldn't see Michael be pissed?
I would. I would.
And then the next month, Kevin Green and Steve McMichael were like going at it again anyway. You know,
yes.
In a couple of months on the pay per view. So I don't know.
Yes.
They had the greatest segment of all time in the back with an interview with Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry.
Harlem Heat.
I wish I had.
All right, everybody's seen
this
video.
My God, this
I mean,
so
everybody
awesome.
That's a wrestling fan has seen this video.
If you've seen Botchamania,
right,
you've seen this video.
This is like those videos by that Matthew guy. What are they called? Botchamania.
Yeah.
This is like the main thing
it's
that
probably
was
one
like,
of the first
you know,
ones
one
added
of,
on there.
Yes, one of the first ones. It's where, all right, they're doing this interview and they had this weird match. It's Harlem Heat versus Luger and the Giant, but it's not a tag team match. It is a four corners match. So everybody's against each other, and the winner gets a title shot at Hulk Hogan for the WCW World Championship. So think about this. All the wrestlers that are in WCW, there was a possibility that fucking Stevie Ray could have been the number one contender for the World Championship. Booker T at this time could have...
Yeah, I mean, you can understand, like, Luger and the Giant, even though they were teammates, but they're, like, main event guys. So you can understand them being in a match like this, but just splitting up Harlem Heat like this, I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Yes, but why? You know? Why would they do this?
I don't know.
All right.
They didn't want to do a singles match with Luger and the Giant, and neither one of them wanted to do the job. I don't know.
I have no idea. All right, so let's get into this. All right, Rey Mysterio beats Ultimo Dragon.
Well, we didn't talk about what he said.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wow. What a build-up. Boy, did I fucking fail on that one. All right. So we have this awesome segment of Mean Gene is interviewing the Harlem Heat, and they're talking about how... You know, they're coming after Hogan, and they're going to be, you know, going after Luger and the Giant. And Booker T says the quote, you know, Lex Luger, you know, we're going to beat you, sucker. And after that, Hogan, we coming for you, nigga. He actually said that. That was a quote. He said that on TV.
Yeah.
And really, immediately just realized, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he just said that. He had the oh, fuck face on. Oh, fuck,
yes,
what the fuck did I just say?
Yes, he was so shocked. And it was so great. And
hilarious.
Very hilarious. Okay, so now let's get into this.
Okay.
All right, Mysterio beat Ultimo Dragon.
Awesome
Akira
match.
Hokuto, who has been the women's champion, but like is barely even in the company, you know. Russell's Medusa, who's been, you know, beating people, and they're building her up like she's going to finally get the title. She loses because Luna Vachon, of all people, debuts, and she just, like, you know, busted out Medusa's knee in this match, and, you know, Akira Hokuto just won the match, and so they added, like, this little addition to that Hokuto Medusa feud. And
yeah. Hokuto is like the only
Prince
Iaukea,
who's been the
champion,
TV champion.
Right?
It feels like forever. This is like a stunning Steve Austin reign he has. Considering like the time period with how often the titles changed.
Yeah.
This is crazy. So he beats Lord Regal.
Now, wasn't Akira Hokuto, she was like the only WCW women's champion, right?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Because she disappeared not long after. Like, in a couple months, she disappeared, and we never see her again.
Never, ever. They showed
women's
a preview
titles just
of the
disappear
movie.
In this, women's titles just disappear in this business for no reasons.
That's because they don't want to pay the women the money because they're not worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's to be mean, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Public Enemy beat Jarrett and Mongo, and it was just because they it was kind of like they tried using the Halliburton, and it just backfired on them. And
I think you're continuing just like the controversy with Jarrett and McMichael, which would eventually lead to a feud in the summer. So I think that's just what they kept. They just wanted low-level guys to do it with, I guess. I don't know.
All right, this next match, Dean Malenko versus Benoit. Please explain it to me.
Well, it went to a no contest when Arn Anderson and Tate Malenko was both battling on the floor, and Kevin Sullivan then appeared, and hit Benoit in the back of the head with a kendo stick. Jacqueline came out and attacked Woman. It allowed Jimmy Hart to appear and attempt to steal the U.S. title until he was blocked in the aisle by Eddie Guerrero with his arm in a sling. And after the bout, Guerrero was taken backstage by Hart and Jacqueline and Sullivan. And I guess it's he wasn't supposed to be here. Who's that? Malenko checked on the challenger and told Benoit he wasn't supposed to be here, with Benoit replying, no, he was not. I have no idea what that's talking about.
All right. It was this.
Maybe Arn Anderson?
Eddie Guerrero. They were trying to tease that Eddie Guerrero had joined up with the Dungeon of Doom.
Which
they were trying to tease that.
Develop into his heel turn. This would kind of start going that away.
Yes. And it was.
I think I know where this is from. Because you remember, Arn Anderson had the surgery. And, Arn Anderson had the surgery, like, maybe a month before. And then there was a thing on TV. It was Kevin Sullivan saying when Arn, after the surgery, Arn got back to his hotel and there was a jackal waiting for him. And somebody had jumped Arn in the hotel. And everybody thought it was Kevin Sullivan. But Kevin Sullivan said it wasn't him. And I think he was intimating that it was maybe Benoit. And maybe that's why Malenko and Benoit were shocked to see Arn Anderson there. I don't know. They never explained this to me, so I don't know.
Nash beat Rick Steiner. All right. Which is not a big shock, obviously.
No.
Not a big shock at all. Well, he dropped him. He did the snake eyes to him like three or four times on the bare...
Yeah, on the steel what's under the turnbuckle pan.
Yes, yes. And Ted DiBiase walked out.
Yeah,
he completely walked out, and no one understood why.
Well, maybe he had church that day, so maybe he got an epiphany, and shouldn't be doing this to good people.
Yes. All right, and then.
And Nick Patrick was very slow on the count. He didn't want to count. He was trying to talk Nash from hurting the guy, which would lead into our next match. Or not our next match, but the main event.
No, it's a semi-main event. Because this is Luger against the Giant. Luger against the Giant.
It would lead into our DDP and Randy Savage main event, the Nick Patrick thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right, Lex Luger beat the Giant, Booker T, and Stevie Ray. The Giant was going to hit the choke slam on Booker T. Okay? And so he's going to do it, but then he tagged Luger instead, like in a show of friendship, and let him win pretty much instead, which was pretty cool to see. I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked it. All right, DDP beat Randy Savage in a no DQ match.
It was a hell of a match.
It was awesome. It was awesome. All right.
And I can't believe I'm watching Diamond Dallas Page main event in the pay-per-view.
Yes, and enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, you think back to, like, 1991 when you see Diamond Dallas Page. You know? I mean, it's just... I know it's weird. It's like going back and seeing, like, The Miz 5 or 6 years ago, and he's the champion now. It's just odd.
Yes, it's absolutely crazy. All right, I will be like back in literally like 30 seconds. So explain the main event real fast.
All right, Diamond Dallas Page pinned Randy Savage in a no DQ match in 15 minutes with a diamond cutter. This was a hell of a match. They went all over the building. I believe it was a no disqualification match. Probably I'd say top five of in matches, the best matches of DDP's career, and probably the best match Randy Savage had been in like a couple of years since the Ric Flair feud in like 1995. And they just hit him with the diamond cutter, and Nick Patrick was the referee. They didn't know Nick Patrick was going to count, but he counted 1, 2, 3. And so afterwards, Kevin Nash came out and grabbed referee Nick Patrick and gave him the power bomb, and I believe they had the deal at the end where Savage was going after Kimberly, but Bischoff was telling Savage not to hurt her. And that started like some dissension with them. They would that would go through into the next night on Nitro. And I believe actually Randy Savage may have broken his ankle in this match, maybe, or either just sprained his ankle because he was on crutches the next night. And you go to the next night, it's Monday Nitro. And start off, you had Conan and Hugh Morris. They defeated Alex Wright and Psychosis in 5 minutes. And they showed Diamond Dallas Page. Okay, I was already at Nitro. Did you want to talk any more about that main event on the pay-per-view?
Yes, I did. Okay.
Okay.
Just real fast. I apologize, everybody.
It's okay.
All right, the thing was, is like, the NWO is falling apart. They are falling apart, and it's only, like, less than a year into it.
Yeah.
And they're doing this teasing breakup storyline, which is god-awful. And it was, part of the thing was, there really was that dissension there. There really was that dissension. Both the Torch and the Observer were reporting that there was just different crews. There was a Nash crew, there's the Hogan crew, there's the Flair crew, and Piper was part of that crew.
Yeah.
It was just such a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you got so many, I mean, you got all those egos, you know. You got Hogan, who obviously, you know, he has his big deal with WCW, so he gets probably the majority of the say. But you got Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, who, even though they just came in the previous year, you know, they got a lot of say too. So, and you got Flair there, who just, I don't know, I think they just kept him around and fuck with him. So, and I don't know.
All right, so where are you at?
I just got through the first match. Conan Hugh Morris beat Alex Wright and Psychosis. And then it says that DDP arrived to the arena with a black eye following the match from the previous night, Trent Savage. And I would say that DDP Savage match, I had mentioned it, I would say that was probably like maybe top five of the best matches Paige has ever had. Would you say that?
Yes. Yeah,
probably,
for sure.
And I said that was probably the best match that Savage had been in since 95 during the Ric Flair feud, when they had a couple of really awesome matches. And DDP showed up saying he wasn't done with Savage. After the match, Conan hit a cradle DDT on Psychosis and demanded the referee count him down as well. Rey Mysterio Jr. defeated Lord Steven Regal via DQ. Regal refused to break the Regal stretch on Mysterio after he reached the ropes. During the bout, Hogan, Bischoff, DiBiase, and Vince were shown arriving to the arena. And Prince IK attempted to make the save, but was also locked into the Regal stretch for several moments, and the referees had to break it up, which would lead into something coming up later in the show. Chris Benoit defeated Ice Train with the DDT. I wonder if that match was any good.
I loved seeing Benoit against bigger guys because he always just beat the shit out of them and it made him look awesome.
Yeah. He was one of those small guys that he could work with those big guys really well. I mean, he believed that he was beating the shit out of them. Then you had Kevin Sullivan pinned Hector Guerrero in 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
All right, I want to talk about that real fast.
Okay.
All right, Kevin Sullivan, once a month, maybe twice a month, we'll just do these squashes on Nitro. Sometimes not even once a month. Sometimes once every 2 months. But I loved them. I loved those little Kevin Sullivan squashes. I always thought they were so great. And I was just a big Kevin Sullivan fan. Always have been. Probably always will be. Just awesome.
Yeah. They probably weren't so good for the opponents because I figured he was pretty much really beating the shit out of them. So, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever, why not?
As long as it ain't happening, I don't care.
Yeah.
Anyway, you go to Dean Malenko beat Chris Jericho in 3 minutes with a kick to the face after Roman Jericho face first into the steel ring post. And the trainer came out to check on Jericho. God,
poor
only
Jericho,
3 minutes.
Man.
Only 3 minutes. That sucks having those guys being there for just 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. High voltage.
Well, according to Bret Hart,
Dean
Malenko's not that good, you know.
Did he really say that?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Well, he don't even think Ric Flair's very good.
In his book, he wrote that he wrestled Dean Malenko a couple times and said that he didn't think he was all that great, and he injured his groin and didn't apologize afterwards.
Oh, Good Lord. Well, he doesn't even think Ric Flair was a good worker, so, I mean, I don't put much stock in what he says these days. So, whatever.
And he thinks Melina's great.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, throw that in there, too. Oh, he had
I did.
A concussion. I'm not blaming him. I'll blame it on the concussion, because they actually do like the guy, so I just say that.
Yeah.
High Voltage defeated Public Enemy again when Rage pinned Rocco Rock with a Northern Lights suplex after Johnny Grunge fell through a table set up at ringside. During the bout, Tony Schiavone announced Slambury tickets would go on sale following Saturday in Charlotte, and DDP and Kimberly would be on hand at the Independence Arena. After the match, Oakland interviewed Public Enemy in the ring, and they challenged High Voltage to a Philadelphia street fight the following week. And they said they might have to get a little bit extreme. So,
oh, boy. Harlem Heat,
Jeff Jarrett, and Steve McMichael to High Voltage.
I don't know. Booker T beat Jarrett, so that's like Harlem Heat getting their heat back.
And McMichael
and Jarrett
and
Mongo continue their little feud. And
Ultimo Dragon pinned
Mongo,
inside.
They did an interview.
Uh-huh.
They did this interview. And all right, so Mean Gene is like asking him a bunch of questions about Jeff Jarrett, and Mongo just doesn't answer any of them. But and Jeff Jarrett's asking him hey, where were you? How come you didn't help me in the match? He doesn't say anything. But then he warns everybody in WCW that they need to be afraid of him. So okay, Mongo, cool.
Or he did warn everybody in WCW they should be afraid of him. So
yes,
he brought this on him. Jarrett brought this on himself, apparently.
Yes. I guess so. I was watching a shoot interview with Hugh Morris, I think it was. And was it Hugh Morris? I think it was Jim Neidhart. And Jim Neidhart was talking about how great he thought Mongo was, and that if he would have kept with wrestling, he thought he could have been a huge star. Ugh. I have no idea what kind of drugs Anvil was on, but he was on something.
Man,
he could possibly
he must have
on
stole
that.
Stole some more drugs from that woman's house he robbed. I don't know.
Yes.
Go to Ultimo Dragon beat Prince Iaukea to win the title. That's a series of kicks.
I remember this.
You remember Iaukea had gotten injured earlier in the show by Lord Regal with the Regal stretch. And so his ribs were taped up. And so he got pinned after a few kicks. And Ultimo Dragon won the TV title, which is kind of shocking to me at the time because I just thought of him as a cruiserweight.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was very shocking. And the Giant was going to wrestle Scott Steiner. But Scott Steiner's coming out. And Hugh Morris and Conan come out. Why, I don't know. And they attack him. And the Giant makes a save, and then they just walk away.
What a shit finish to this show.
Oh, but
they
the main event that will be airing in 2 weeks from now, they finally crowned the Women's Cruiserweight Champion. The first and only WCW Women's Cruiserweight Champion, Yoshi Vamatsu, beat Sunoko Kato. So, congratulations, Toshi. So,
I think that was the last we ever heard of that championship.
Yes. There's a show. It was billed as Jacques Rougeau's. Was this the retirement show?
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
Yes, it was in Montreal, and Hulk Hogan was actually wrestled this house show, which he didn't wrestle a lot of house shows, and he actually put over Jacques Rougeau.
Yeah.
Jacques Rougeau pinned him.
Yeah, this was shocking at the time when I heard about it happening. But, I mean, I figured, Hogan, he was in there in WWF, with the Rougeaus and stuff like that, and probably just doing a favor for a friend of his or something.
Yeah, because that's all he does favors for, is friends of his. Yes. All right, let's get us to that. Where do you want to leave off at today?
You just want to go through the Philadelphia one real quick?
Yeah, let's go through that Philadelphia Nitro.
Okay. U.S. champion Dean Malenko defeated Hector Guerrero via submission with Texas Cloverleaf. Part of the battle that said there was an announcement to be made the following week regarding Eric Bischoff's involvement in WCW. I imagine this was probably an announcement. We never heard what the actual announcement was. As a match, Eddie Guerrero with Norman Sling came out and was in front of Malenko in the aisle. And Malenko refused to break the hold after the bell before Eddie tended to his older brother. Rey Mysterio Jr. pinned Juventud Guerrero. It's like a wash, rinse, repeat with all these cruiserweight matches. You notice?
It really was.
It's the same stuff every week. It's getting to be. And Reggie White was in the crowd because they were getting ready to, you know, build up him against Mongo McMichael at Slamboree. The Ultimo Dragon pinned Lane Carlson, who ended up being Lenny Lane, a legendary name in the business. In about 3 minutes,
yeah.
The Dragon Suplex. Cruiserweight Champion 6 finally makes his first appearance as the champion, I think, in the ring, since winning at Super Brawl and defeated Prince Iaukea via submission with the Buzzkill, which I think was that Bob Backlund's reverse chicken wing?
Yes, it was. It was, but then he would wrap his
leg. That was a horrible finish.
Yeah.
That was a horrible finish.
For Cruiserweight, yes, it was.
Yeah. During the match, Shivani announced Nick Patrick was petitioning to be reinstated free. Public Enemy defeated High Voltage in a street fight in 4 minutes and 37 seconds when Rocco Rock pinned Chaos following a drive-by through two tables stacked on each other outside the ring. Public Enemy wore the Philadelphia Flyers jerseys for the match.
All right, here, hang on real fast. I'm sorry to interrupt
okay.
you. But to go back to that Nick Patrick thing, think of the fucking audacity of this guy. Nick Patrick turns on WCW's referee, hangs out with these bad guys. I mean, can you imagine this really happening? I mean, really. Like, say, you know, Brock Lesnar is fighting, you know, Frank Mir. And Brock Lesnar is beating the shit out of Frank Mir. And then all of a sudden, Herb Dean hits the back of Brock Lesnar's knee. And then Frank Mir, you know, puts some sort of submission on him. And Brock Lesnar doesn't give up. But then Herb Dean says that he gave up. Okay, so then, you know, Herb Dean would be done. He'd be done as a referee forever. Forever. It would never, ever happen. It's fucking been like 2 weeks since the pay-per-view. 2 weeks since Nick Patrick left the NWO. And he already wants to be back as a normal referee. And we're supposed to forgive him. And the thing is,
right.
WCW proves to be such dumb fucks that they take him back.
And I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking the nerve of this motherfucker. You know, it's been like 2 weeks. He finally decided to call a match right, and now he wants his job back. And I said, you know, if I had done that to somebody, if I was a heel referee, I would not have the nerve to go ask for my job back. Please not so soon.
No! God, no! And the thing is, that dumb fuck had himself a sweet deal being the NWO referee.
Yeah.
They paid him a lot of money, and then he bit the hand that fed him. So he fucked everybody. He fucked over WCW, and then he fucked over the NWO. He's lucky he didn't end up dead somewhere. He is.
And then he ended up coming to fuck him in the end, like at the end of the year. You know?
Yes, yes.
Or he was supposed to fuck him.
They really should have fired him.
Yeah.
They really should have fired him. Yeah, so we have...
Well, the assassin was in the front office, so they had to take him back.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. All right, so 911, who's a big, big star for ECW. They're in Philadelphia, 911 comes out, the crowd goes crazy for him. Loses to the Giant in 1 minute with a chokeslam. His own move, too.
You know why 911 got over so well? Because they never had him wrestle a match.
Yeah.
They had him go out there, and, I mean, they would have him wrestle a match here and there, like with a tag team partner or something, but... They never actually had him as a competitor. He would just go out there and chokeslam. That's how he got over. When he wrestles, it's like no buys. You know, I mean, it just nobody gives a shit.
Yes. I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth. And that's why he didn't get over in WCW, and that's why he was very short-term in WCW.
Yep.
All right, DDP beats Conan, 2 minutes. And then Randy Savage with Elizabeth, they're in the crowd, and Savage is talking about, you know, to tell DDP, to tell his wife to stop fantasizing about Macho Man and calling him. and Paige's pissed and runs after him to the ground. This storyline is so great. It's so good. I love it.
You can believe it. You can believe these motherfuckers hate each other.
Oh, yeah, you can believe it.
And I'll say this from the board. One Silva keeps asking about when La Parca or DDP dressed up like La Parca. We're going to get to that in June because I think that's when that took place, in June or July. So if we don't mention
it, it'll be a little while.
He's
been asking about it for months.
Yeah, but that took place June or July, but we'll get to it.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Jarrett and Mongo beat Harlem Heat by DQ. There's a big schmoz with Halliburton and Debra and Sherry. They announced that Steve McMichael at Slamboree was gonna wrestle, wasn't it Reggie White?
Yeah.
Reggie White, and so not Kevin Green, who he has legitimate heat with, because Kevin Green's going to be teaming up with his tag team or a member of his group in the main event. Nope, he's going to be wrestling Reggie White at Slamboree. And Mongo says that, you know, he thought Reggie White was good, but he said that he left Philadelphia for money. And then White comes after him, Mongo spit at him, and they were pulled apart by referees.
Didn't he die? Didn't Reggie White pass away?
Yeah, Reggie White is dead, yes.
Wasn't his mom a cheerleader?
Who, Reggie White?
Yeah.
I
he's a cheerleader in those Chunky soup commercials. Remember?
Yes. I remember that.
I just remember Bobby Heenan saying, I know Reggie White is. His mom's a cheerleader, right? Because from all those soup commercials.
Oh, you seriously gotta love Bobby Heenan. He's so great. And then Luger beat Kevin Nash by DQ when the NWO comes up. That's the thing that just made Nitro so repetitive. Is none of them would lose. It would always be a DQ finish. And then DDP tried making a save. He got beat down. Then the Giant comes out. And then finally Sting comes out. And he gives everybody baseball bats. And he, you know, beats Nash with the bat, and then the NWO runs away. So we have this thing with Sting. And you'll get this, you know, next week when we do the show.
Aside from the DDP storyline with Savage, this is all very boring. Has gotten to be
it's all very boring stuff.
So repetitive that it's not funny.
I 100% agree. It's just not good at all.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Let's go ahead and get out of here. First off, I want to plug. We are members, of course, of SuperFriendsUniverse.com. Check us out. All of our archives over there. Check out all the other amazing shows on that website. And next week, what are we going to be talking about?
We'll get to Slamboree and maybe even the Great American Bash.
All right. So next week, we will get to all that good stuff. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Couture, for being patient while I had to do a couple things. So
no problem.
Thanks, everybody, for listening again, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you.